Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back on a Reaction Monday and a Victory Monday. The first one of the year, the Houston Texans. In a game they had to have, they win 26-0. A shutout of the Tennessee Titans and a fourth quarter in which they dominated 20-0 in the fourth quarter to really blow that thing open. 26-0, a shutout is hard in this league. As D'Amico said yesterday, not many times has that happened. Not many times has it happened in Houston, but they shut out the Titans. And we want to hear from you, 713-572-4610. Tyler has opened up the phone lines for you to jump in and give us your thoughts with this. Do you still believe in the Texans after Sunday's win? Was that enough for you to believe in the Texans after Sunday's win? 713-572-4610. And Clint, I think a lot of the belief for people comes with what got them there in the first place. One, there is C.J. Stroud, and you know, how you believe in him and how you believe he can match up against the other quarterbacks in the league. And then Clint, Nick Caley, who we've been talking about a lot. I think that's a lot of space and where that starts up in the belief. And Sunday's game, did you walk away with those two guys in particular saying, all right, I can see the potential in this with these two guys?
No, I didn't. I mean, I think it was a good day for both guys. I think they did some positive things. But the end game here is not to rebuild this organization.
Yeah.
And last year you won 3 or 4 games. You won 10 regular season games. You went to the second round of the playoffs. The expectations for everybody involved is playoffs and be competitive in the playoffs. And going out and having one good game, or let's be honest, one really good quarter against the lowly Tennessee Titans isn't going to move the needle for me in a sense of how confident I am about this offense. Now, two things can be true. That's the way I feel about the big picture offense and how it fits into playoff caliber football. Now, I can also step into it and say it was a good day for the offense. There were some really good things that they showed. And if they can do it against better competition, then the conversation changes. So we'll see. I mean, Saturday did nothing for me. You shut out a really, really, really bad football team.
Did Sunday do something for you?
What'd I say?
Saturday.
Saturday did nothing. Yeah, Notre Dame, you beat up Arkansas. You did nothing for me. Right? Sunday, the Texans beat up on the Titans. Did absolutely nothing for me. Now, if you'd have went out there and just blew the doors off of them from start to finish, shut them out defensively and offensively, put up 40, then we could be talking. But to struggle for 3 quarters and then get something going in a fourth, you know, there's some good there, but it doesn't move the needle for me from a confidence standpoint.
Tyler, do you feel different than you did Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning going to that game after they 26-0 shutout?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, absolutely feel different. Now, I think there's still plenty to talk about, plenty of work to be done, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, absolutely moving in the right direction feelings-wise up top in the mentals.
That's the biggest ass kicking they got all season.
Yeah.
The Titans, they're 0-4. Biggest ass kicking they got, you know, all season. Text line coming in. Hell no. Shutting out the Titans is like shutting out the Astros. We will get to them. That is not fair. I believe in C.J. Stroud and the Texans as far as I can throw show. Not far at all.
I would say more specifically the fourth quarter combined with the shutout makes me feel a lot better.
Oh, I was just going to tell that person to kiss my ass.
let him know.
I wanted to make sure that person was clear on it. All right, phone lines are open, 713-572-4610. Let's go to Carl first. Carl, are you believing, are you feeling any different after Sunday's game than you did before it started?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
All right.
I think we played a lesser opponent, and I strongly think Nick Caley needs to go to the booth so he can see the field a lot better. He's on the sidelines, and he keeps, you know, running plays where like he can impose his will. He had a better showing only because we had a lesser opponent, but he could feel a lot better if he was up top, and he would see what the rest of everybody else sees, and we wouldn't have that problem, and I'll listen.
All right, I don't know if the problems will be solved if he went up top. I mean, they've got issues that they've had to deal with coming into the game, whether he's, well, hell, let's be honest, three quarters. They had issues with things, whether he set up top or he stood on the sideline. I can see if you're not there with Nick Caley. I'm not, again, when I pose the question, I'm not trying to say that you should or not. I legit want to get of people's thoughts. This was, I would say, the offense, you could tell at least he got in a rhythm calling plays and seemed to be going in the route that he wanted to go in. And I can also say the opponent probably had something to do with him feeling pretty good about a rhythm. Although Jeffrey Simmons was whooping ass up front and causing issues. But they still, especially in that fourth quarter, got around it. So.
Well, you, the thing is the quarterback play, guys. The quarterback play was different. The quarterback play, yep. The approach. You know, I haven't watched the film. It doesn't only get dropped till tomorrow, and I'll check tonight. But the reality of it is, man, is I'd be willing to bet you a good amount of money. What was he sacked twice?
Yeah.
I'll bet you a good amount of money that he avoided 5+ sacks by getting the ball out of
it. Yeah, he was sacked twice. He was drilled.
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it doesn't just wreck the game when your quarterback, you know, takes care of your offensive line by getting the ball out. When he doesn't hold it, he doesn't give them those opportunities. He just completely takes it out of the defense's hands. And when you can do that, it changes the dynamic of the entire game. Now, you may not have as many explosive plays, right? But you don't have as many like just drive killing plays. You can go for it three times on fourth down and get it. You know, you can do things like that. You bait them down, you bore them to death, and then all of a sudden the throws over the top are throws in the ocean. So,
if you have, like someone texted in, Clint, hell yes, I believe progress, gotta praise the progress. Listen, I'm not gonna fault you how you feel, and then maybe you saw enough, but I also think if you're the other way and you're a little skeptical, I can understand.
Praise the progress? Is that what it was?
Yeah, someone said, hell yes, I believe progress. Got to praise progress.
Praise progress.
Like that, huh?
I mean, can we acknowledge it?
So you ain't got to praise, just acknowledge it.
We'll praise it at the end of the year if it ends up being Super Bowl worthy or improvement upon the year worthy. You know, going out, I don't believe in praising. This team,
progress
the way it's built.
And who it was against also, I think, does matter. If they did this against the Eagles, you would feel, you know, different about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you have a fourth quarter explosion where you put up 20 on the Eagles or the Rams or, you know, something like that, then, yeah, I mean, now we're talking, wow.
It's a different conversation.
This team is capable of putting up 20 in one quarter. That's wild. You know, that team... Not so much.
Yep. Text line continue to roll through as well. I feel very positive about the rookies and them finally using it. Yeah, Woody Marks clearly was a difference maker.
Yep.
And is a difference maker and has to be looked at more. All right, Eddie, you go on in here next. Eddie, you're in on the drive. Do you believe you feel different after the game Sunday? Eddie.
I feel different about Woody Marks.
Okay, you feel different about Woody Marks? Go ahead.
Yeah, he could. He looks like he could absolutely be something special. The offensive line, though, still looks like they got communication issues. But I am happy it seems like they're cutting down on their unforced penalties. I'm actually enthused about that. But this coming game up against Baltimore, they're statistically one of the worst defenses in football. But now it's going to be on the road, and you got to win on the road. So if you can go on the road to that stadium against that team and their horrible defense and you can do something, then I'm going to believe more. But doing it against home against the Titans, I'm still waiting to be seen.
All right, that's fair, Eddie.
That's a good point, Eddie, right there at the end. Not that all the others weren't good points, but that was a good one. I mean, you're right. Statistically, the Titans and the Ravens are two of the worst three or four defenses in football. Last I checked, they were both giving up 30-plus points a game. The Ravens may be the worst in the league, right?
They just gave up 37 yesterday.
Yeah, so I mean, you go look at their damn schedule. They've given up 37 plus in damn near every game, right? So I say that to say, you know, if you go to Baltimore and you're able to score points throughout the game, maybe not 40, but you're able to score points throughout the game, what you've accomplished is you went and scored points on a statistically bad defense, but you did it in their ballpark versus an organization that is a very, very, very healthy organization. Well, we just
motivated too. They're going to be motivated. Like they're 1-3-2.
They're well coached. You know, they're missing some of their star players,
they're
but they're well coached. They expect to win. It's a different level environment. It's just a playoff caliber organization. Any way you slice it, that expects to have success. That group we beat up on yesterday was a dysfunctional group that they don't know their ass from the hole in the ground.
Their quarterback's calling them ass.
Right. Good point. That was which I love. I love that post game, by the way.
He said ass.
So yeah, I do think even though that this is not a good defense in Baltimore, you're playing a much better, I think, overall team, a healthier organization, and so going and scoring some points on these boys would definitely be a step in the right direction as well.
Yeah, Sandy, let's let you jump in here. If I can get there, you go, Sandy. Sandy, your thoughts? Do you feel better about this team after the game on Sunday?
Oh, I feel better, but I totally agree with Clint. This Nick Haley, we need a experienced offensive coordinator, somebody who's been there and done it before. These new guys, it's ridiculous.
All right. I hear you, Sandy. I appreciate the call. If that's going to happen, you're going to have to wait because – you know, I think he is, you know, at least for the near future, he is going to be the guy. And I don't think you're going to find anybody. I mean, Bill Lazor's the only one in the organization who's had a history of calling plays. And I don't think that's where
me and Sandy are definitely on the same page of preferring that. No doubt about it. I'm with you, Ron. I mean, obviously Nick Cayley's going to be the guy. I just greatly appreciate again, the thought that D'Amico Ryans is just going to be. He is going to be hands-on with Nick Cayley to make sure this stuff gets fixed. And so I love that part of it. Unfortunately, we can't go back and rehire an offensive coordinator. We're knee-deep in this thing.
Text line coming through. I'm going to wait until Sunday when they play Seattle. I'm going to wait till after that to see how they perform. Text line also coming in. Not going to play many guys better than Simmons and had some success in the run game. That's a positive. Yeah. They've got to clean some of those things up. Obviously, there are a lot of things they got to clean up. But yeah, man, I don't think you should walk away with problem solved, baby. They put up 20 in the fourth quarter and they won 26-0.
Whew.
No, I don't think so. And I think we'll need to see more, you know, and more of that and see them put this together more. Like next week is another step. Next week, like 26 is their high watermark. Judging by what teams have done to Baltimore, and I understand they've gotten their ass handed to them defensively at home too. Judging what teams have done to the Ravens, this should be one of their better offensive performances of the year. And I know that doesn't scream a lot with what they've done at times, but you would expect that this should be one of their better offensive performance against that team that's going to be missing. We know for a fact their best guy on their front four, their best guy in the second level of their linebacker, and their best corner. And maybe both their best corners. Maybe their other, because Wiggins was carted off holding his arm. And he may be out there. So you know, they should have their best days.
Well, look, I don't want to let this go by the wayside either. I mean, the teams that have scored 41, 38, and 37 on the Baltimore Ravens defense were Buffalo, Detroit, and Kansas City. And so you make of that what you will. Cleveland put up 17 points on this defense. So, you know, we'll see what we're looking at. I don't want to look at Baltimore's defense and just say, yeah, they're going to give up 40 every weekend. They've had one hell of a schedule. And by the way, it doesn't slow down. I mean, you got Houston this week,
yeah,
but then you got the Rams yeah. right after that. So that the first 6 weeks of their season, boy, is woo.
They'll be desperate, but they'll be desperate with some guys that are in there. Kelvin, close this out. Kelvin, you feel different about the Texans after the game?
Not at all. I believe in the defense, and I feel like a star was born. I feel like we just need to don't push the panic button, let the guys cook. With this defense, I believe the CJ will have us in every game, just as he showed us the past four games. Just relax, let them cook.
I appreciate you. That's where I believe there is some steps. Like, we believe in the defense. And as he said, Woody Marks showed himself not just to be, you know, all right, he had a good game. You can clearly see, Clint, that is something that's not just, oh, a one-week lucky thing, right? That was that dude. He's got juice. He's got wiggle. He could move. He's already playing, you know, older than a rookie appears to play. He's got poise. There's something there. You just added a second big weapon. And now that Joe Mixon's eligible to come back now this week, you could have Joe and Woody Marks and Nick Chubb. With Joe Mixon eligible to come back. I know D'Amico spoke today, Tyler, and I listened. I did not see any words about Joe Mixon. This, that.
He got asked about it at one point, but then he just said the two names he had already said were coming off the pup list this week.
Damn. All right. Let's give our players of the game. There are a lot of those guys out there. I do not believe Tyler is going to be going to the towel people or the people with seats where the swimming pool was in Jacksonville, anything like that. There is an actual players.
Finally.
Persons that Tyler will go to. You can let us know yours as well. Our Man Eye Institute players of the game coming up next.
They were playing that song about you swag and surf, and I looked around. I was like, this is pretty sweet.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on a Reaction Monday. The reaction will continue following our show. It is a Monday, which means the coach's show comes on at 5 o'clock, right behind us. So we're out a little early on Monday. D'Amico Ryans will have the coach's show coming up behind us, so you don't want to miss the head coach. First time this year after a win on the coach's show, as they I'm sure touch on yesterday's game against the Titans, and then also start to move and turn the page as the Texans have to the Baltimore Ravens, what looked to be arguably their toughest game on their schedule, road game at Baltimore. Maybe it feels more winnable at this point when you look at the injury situation, but they will be a desperate team too. Two surprising 1-3 teams facing off on Sunday in Baltimore. So D'Amico Ryans, coach show coming up behind us. Let's do what we do each and every Monday. You can text yours in. There are several candidates for our player of the game, and not just our player of the game, but our Man Eye Institute player of the game. And Clint, we will start with you. Who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game? Man Eye Institute, see life better.
Yeah, my Man Eye Institute player of the game is CJ Stroud, Ron. It's look, there were several options this week, but CJ Stroud, 22 of 28, 200 plus yards, couple of touchdowns. I think he was 2 of 3 on big time throws, balls that traveled over 20 yards in the air. Got to hit the first one, but hey, getting 2 of 3 is in that kind of game is absolutely huge. Did not put the ball in harm's way at all that I recall. Also, there's obviously some reports out there from CJ Stroud in the postgame presser and D'Amico Ryans in the postgame presser talking about how he communicated and changed plays and got him into better out of bad plays and into better plays, I think, multiple times. And so for me, man, I just don't think CJ could have played any better with the exception of that one throw that he missed. I thought he understood what kind of game it was going to be. I thought he committed to the underneath stuff and taking the pressure off of his offensive line, which in turn he used his tight end and his running backs in quick game and check down game. And I just thought that C.J. Stroud really did a good job of managing that game, understanding the situation, understanding what needed to happen. And so I don't think anybody was more instrumental in that game than C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, I think I agree with a texter from earlier. This was probably the closest thing that we saw from year one C.J. To me. It seemed like he was A-OK with just taking the stuff the defense was giving him, taking the easy 8, the easy 7, right? And some of that easy 8, easy 7, easy 5 turned into more because one broken tackle, you know, got them more yards. And then you saw he was able, for the most part, as you just pointed out, to take advantage of the bigger stuff down the field once that opened up. So C.J. Stroud, like I said, his best quarterback rating since the Cleveland Browns playoff game a couple of years back. So big time performance from C.J. Stroud. Tyler, who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
I am rolling with, and thankfully, an actual Houston Texan player this week. It pains me whenever I have to give out awards to the people on the sideline in the pool in Jacksonville and stuff like that. That pains me. I don't want to do it.
You do it pretty easily. I mean, it comes off like it may pain you, but it comes off like you really are nailing it.
That's just how damn good I am.
That's fair.
For real, I love being able to do a real text and an actual player. I'm going with the rookie running back, Woody Marks. He had 17 carries for 69 yards for 4.1 a carry, and he carried one into the touchdown, and 4 receptions, 50 yards for the rookie running back, and a receiving touchdown as well. Not to mention the block I heard Clint talking about on the post game, all hot and heavy. That thing kind of made me horny. So Woody Marks is my player of the game.
No, it should be. We talked about it a bit, man. That like he is a game changer, potentially, of anybody else we saw. Now I know it was one game against the Titans, but like you could see the elements that he brings, and the reason why it's a game changer, you just don't have that many elements like that on the offense. You just don't have many big play potential, big chunk play elements on your team. And he ran it in between the tackles. And, I mean, the ease of which he took that screen 17 yards, the ease of which he took that long touchdown run in, that was special. And I don't know that they have a lot of that on their offense. So that's why I agree. Woody Marks, big time.
Woody Marks is a good one, T. Boy, it's going to be fun to watch him if they can keep that thing rolling.
Yeah.
What's yours, Ron?
My Man Eye Institute player of the game is Danielle Hunter. As we said, there are a lot of places you could go. Danielle Hunter had 2 sacks in the game, 3 tackles. He was killing. I think it's Dan Moore over there. He was killing that guy, anybody he wanted to line up against. And he came up with big pressures, not just the sacks, big pressures. And then I really enjoyed how he snuffed out. I don't know why the Tennessee offensive coordinator and play caller continued to just go trick play after they had done some good things and gotten some first downs. But he tried to go trick play and the throwback to Cam Ward. And I mean, I mean, it was as if Danielle Hunter was in the huddle. I mean, he never even came off the line of scrimmage to rush the passer. He wouldn't stood right next to Cam Ward, and that guy just had to eat it and lose 4 yards, which for the Titans, if you watch that, they're kind of rolling the way the Texans were. You start to lose 4 or 5 yards on first down, it's really all she wrote for their offense. So, Danielle Hunter, who was off to a really good start this year, he's got 4 sacks, I believe, on the season, and he had 2 more yesterday. So, Danielle Hunter is my Man Eye Institute player of the game.
Yeah, man. Look, Hunter's got, what's he got, 4? And Will's got 3.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a deadly combo coming off the edges for D'Amico's defense, there's no doubt.
Text line coming in saying, I know many people aren't talking about it, but I like what EJ Speed brought. Yeah, EJ Speed did jump out. He jumped off on the end, and his snaps jumped up too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was really good yesterday. Henry Toa took a step back. I think I saw Christian Harris play 4 or 5 snaps, and EJ Speed's numbers started to go up, and you could see it. He is moving like his last name says it, and looked good.
Look, I mean, you got to get that guy. To me, you got to get that guy rolling.
You've been saying that from the jump. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, it's at a position where you just need to have some really quality depth with the physicality of that position. The fact that it is a position where you've got multiple, sometimes you got 3 on the field, sometimes you got 2 on the field. You need to have guys that you can trust in there, and I just think Speed is one of those guys that. Again, I can't believe that he came in so cheap. I can't believe that he didn't have chances elsewhere to go start. It just leads me to believe that there's a bigger role for him here. I don't know the details behind why he played more and Toa didn't and all of that, but I do understand that bigger, longer frame that is faster. You know, whether you're playing man or you're playing zone, it's better in coverage. I'm not saying he's a damn corner. I'm just saying he's a presence in the middle of the field. And obviously, he plays the run well. He tackles well. He had a good one as well.
Yeah. All right. Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays on the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with a really juicy Week 5 matchup between the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. Visit Paramount Plus. .com/NFL to get started today. Coming up, we do this on Mondays, weekends best, weekends worst. There was a lot to happen all over the weekend. We'll do that coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line said, don't leave out Kamari Laster. Yeah, Kamari Laster played well.
Did he?
Made some plays. There was a big catch. Got his hands in maybe a downfield throw. Looked like it was going to be caught. Got his hands in there and knocked it out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Shout out to Derek Stingley, too. A little toughness that he showed as well.
That's right.
Got a pick also in that game as he didn't practice all week with the oblique situation. Hopefully, he is healing and better. In better shape, and will be able to play closer to his 100% level coming up as the season continues. On a Reaction Monday, not only is the coaches show coming on after us, I believe courtesy of Westwood One, we will have some Monday Night Football, 2 games tonight. The Jets and Dolphins, everybody is dying for those. Are both those teams 0-3? I know damn sure the Jets are. I'm certain the Dolphins are. I'm certain the Dolphins have not won any games. But somebody's got to be very similar to the Texans and Titans game. Somebody has got to win. Well, I guess somebody don't have to. The Cowboys and the Packers tied last night. So the potential that somebody will put a win on the board tonight, as well as the Broncos and the Bengals. That one obviously feels different with Joe Burrow out, but still a matchup. Bengals 2-1, and the Broncos have a lot of expectations. You'll be able to listen to that after us, courtesy of Westwood One, or after the coaches show coming up behind that. All right, Clint, it is Monday. Let's do our weekend's best, weekend's worst. I'll start. My weekend's best, Clint, is I know this may not be popular to some around here, but the performance of Dak Prescott Sunday night was ridiculous. I think for some fair reasons, he is criticized for not coming through in moments. And then I think sometimes he is overly criticized in a way that people just aren't comfortable with giving him the credit or status that he deserves. He's a top 10 quarterback. He has been for a long time. The last time he was healthy, he was second in MVP. And yesterday, no CD Lamb. His defense is shot to hell. And George Pickens is a good, talented receiver, but he has issues with catching the football at times, had a couple of drops. And he was facing Micah Parsons. He lost a couple of offensive linemen in the game as well. He was 31 of 40, 319, three touchdowns, no picks, quarterback rating of 120-25. Also added a rushing touchdown in there. And they tied the game, and they ended up in a tie. At least they didn't lose in a game in which a lot of people thought the Packers may go in there and blow their doors off, especially the way that the Bears did them the week before. So for me, Dak Prescott, he was sensational last night in that game.
Yeah, look, he was tremendous. He is as good a regular season quarterback as you're going to find. I mean, he has put up some numbers, and it is impressive to watch. It's fun to watch. You look at even Dallas last night, the game plan they had to minimize Micah Parsons' effect on the game was tremendous, and they executed it flawlessly. And Dak was, I mean, he was money at all levels of the field. He was money with his legs as well once again. So that old version of Dak Prescott, that Mississippi State Bulldog version, put his head down and went and got a touchdown run. Yeah, Ron, you're right. I mean, he is, if he can just win in the playoffs, he will no doubt about it get the respect that he's due. Right now, that's the only excuse folks have of not giving him the credit that he deserves. He is as good as anybody in the regular season and has been when he's healthy over the last handful of years.
A lot of people view Dak as the guy that has to have everything around him to be good. Well, in this game, he lost his number one receiver, lost second. I know Guyton wasn't in the game at the end. His left tackle had to replace the left tackle there. I think one of his backs went out. Miles Sanders went out. You know, and they still put up 40 on before yesterday what was thought to be a good defense in the Packers. So Dak Prescott, hell of a performance this week.
I agree. Weekend's best for me is my Arkansas Razorbacks.
That's your best?
Firing their head coach, Sam Pittman. I love Sam Pittman. In fact, I wish Sam and his bride the best moving forward. Change is good. Change needed to happen. You know, Ron, when you watch a struggling team, it's one thing to be a struggling team that's just not very talented, or they're beat up with injuries, or, you know, it just they play in a tough conference. They got a tough-ass schedule like Arkansas does. But you can clearly tell when a team just flat-out quits on the coach. Mm. You can clearly tell when a coach has lost his team, does not have the ability to motivate, to coach, to change, to move the needle at all with his team. And I think Sam Pittman did that on Saturday. Ron, it was 42-13 at halftime.
Yeah, I was seeing that score, and I thought, "Ooh, that ain't looking good for Sam."
Well, as bad as that is, the only thing that would make it worse is if they said, "Hey, we're gonna go through this bye week, and then we're gonna go to Tennessee, or I can't remember if we're there, if they're here. I can't remember where Tennessee. We're gonna wait and, you know, get Sam through six games and seven games and sit through the season and kind of." So my weekend's best is Arkansas, my Razorbacks, going ahead and just nipping the bud there and firing the head coach, giving Bobby Petrino the head coach duties, and allowing him to make some defensive changes. He's already fired, you know, three of the defensive coaches, the defensive coordinator.
He's already go ahead. Yeah,
the defensive coordinator, the co-coordinator, which is more of a consultant, but he was a co-coordinator, highly paid, and I think the D-line coach, he let them go as well. So, the only thing that could have made that worse is if I had to sit through one more game of the same old status quo with Arkansas. So they're going to get my weekend's best. Not the game, the decision to move on from Sam and get this thing, try to get this thing at least getting cleaned up, you know, while you still got a little time left here.
Yeah, I wonder when Sam knew it was over.
I think Sam's known for a minute.
You think so?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Sam at some point in that game knew he was fired.
I'm standing on the sideline with him at 42-13 as they were trotting in at halftime.
He knew it was over.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've never been. I'm talking
about that day.
Ron, it's the worst game I've ever seen in person. And I've seen some bad ones. Hell, I've been a part of some bad ones. I mean, I was embarrassed that I had my family that we flew all the way up there and went through all the energies and efforts to be at that game and watch it. I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, I was ready to get the crew out of there at halftime. Let's go.
Let's go.
If I didn't have duties, I'd have got my ass up out of there.
Weekend's best. Let's go to weekend's worst. And I do want to preface this by, I hope this is not any kind of any illness or anything, but that cold sore that Jerry Jones had on his lip.
Well, you can see that joint in the camera angle from outside the booth, couldn't you?
And Clint, it was bad because you knew this was a night he was going to have all kinds of camera time.
No question.
Hell, they kicked it off with an interview with him sitting at the desk on Football in America. And you knew, and I mean, yeah, you ain't lying. They could have set the camera up on the opposite sideline. You could still see that sucker. Then after the game, he had it. I mean, what a bad time to get a cold sore. Yeah. That was an aggressive one.
That's like getting one right before you got a speaking engagement, right? I mean, Jerry's got one right before the Micah Parsons return to Dallas.
I mean, I wonder how bad it looks.
You get one. What about right before a date?
Oh, yeah. It's over. You just got to cancel it.
Yeah, I mean, he could walk. Sorry, baby. I've been thinking about this date for a week. I've been thinking about that outfit you got on, but I have zero chance right now.
I would have considered a Band-Aid or something. That's a hard Band-Aid area, but I would have considered something. That sucker, I could not stop looking at it. All right, your weekend's worth.
Well, I got to go with the Ryder Cup. I haven't even had time to check into all the details, but the fact that Rory McIlroy felt the need. I like Rory. I know some people don't. I like Rory McIlroy. The fact that he felt the need to voice some level of concern for, you know, the fans, the crowd, how they were treating the Ryder Cup team, the European Ryder Cup team, and let's be honest, the way that our team started on day one was a joke as well. So I just think overall, U.S. here, we didn't show up on the golf course, and then our fans obviously were clowns and. Got way outside of golf etiquette, and so I think that's probably the weekend's worst.
So they took it up a notch. The Ryder Cup is
throwing beers and yelling and chirping I saw some of it. I didn't see all of it yet. I didn't see the part where Rory had to stop.
I saw that. He was pissed. You could see it in his eyes. I mean, he approached it and then had to step off. And the commentators, you could see the crowd. They're getting to it. The noise. Yeah. Is getting to them. They say, and I don't know, they say, it is the truth. You almost want to go now. That Ryder Cup is different. The emotion is different. It's almost, to me, it's like the version of, the World Baseball Classic in the Dominican. You know, how the game, emotion-wise, is different than how Major League Baseball games are. That's what it feels like people talk about with the Ryder Cup. Yeah, that was, who was it? Watson was out there apologizing for... Yeah. Yeah,
well, you got guys apologizing, you got guys issuing statements, so clearly it was way out of bounds. And look, I think golf is one sport that is going to be threatened with this new era of fan, right? It's just more accepted in today's world overall is the lack of respect, whether it's for people or for the game and the rules and regulations that come along with the game. The traditions of the game. I mean, people just don't respect each other or the game the way that they used to, just generally in our world today. And so I think golf is going to have a hard time abiding by or expecting fans to abide by the traditions of the game. And I think this was just an unfortunate, set of circumstances that we'll see which direction it goes after this.
What you got coming up?
Well, Reaction Monday, and I don't want to oversell a win over the Titans, but there are a handful of things. I got three things that we as fans can take from the Texans-Titans game that I think are real. I think they transition to the next week and the next week and the next week. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 16.